1420 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Israel hits Gaza with airstrikes after Hamas attacks Israelis along the border, taking hostages, and now threatening to execute them if the airstrikes don't stop. It's believed some 1,600 people on both sides have died. White House National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby says on USA.
Interceptor missiles or artillery rounds, those kinds of things. The kinds of munitions that they're expending in these early days here, that's what we're going to stay focused with them. But look, it's going to be up to the Israelis to determine, you know, what additional assistance they need and what the United States can help provide for them.
General Charles Brown, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is warning Iran not to get involved in the crisis in Israel and said he did not want the conflict to broaden. Meantime, CBS's Holly Williams reports from Israel.
For many here, the question is how Israeli intelligence could have failed to detect and disrupt the planning for such a massive assault.
It seems like Israel had no clue.
Gonen Ben Yitzhak is a former Israeli intelligence officer who used to recruit spies inside Hamas.
The question is how much or how big is the failure? And this time is the biggest Israel ever experienced.
The outpouring of support for Israel continues throughout the U.S., including in Texas, where the governor met with local Jewish leaders. Reporter Chris Fox in Austin.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott saying the state condemns these heinous acts of violence and inhumanity against Israel by ruthless terrorists. He also approved over $4 million to fund enhanced security around synagogues and Jewish schools throughout the state.
It is an act of war to which Israel has the right of self-defense, for which there is no expiration date on what Israel must do.
Abbott also directing state agencies to refrain from doing business with any organization with ties to Hamas. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
President Biden has been interviewed as part of the special counsel investigation into his handling of classified documents. The White House says Mr. Biden was voluntarily interviewed by special counsel Robert Hur yesterday and today. And Mexico's president says he's sending a diplomatic note to the U.S. protesting Texas border truck inspections, causing major delays. Coolant leaked from a backup line at the International Space Station, the Russian space agency says. It happened on a radiator for Russia's new science lab. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood has more.
You know, just like your car needs a radiator to run cool, so do major elements of the International Space Station. And for the third time in less than a year, a Russian radiator system has sprung a leak. This wasn't mission-critical hardware, and officials say the crew's in no danger.
This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
My name is Jim Conroy, and I'm the CEO at Boot Barn. As we celebrate 45 years supporting the Western community, we have been reflecting on the American Cowboys' incredible influence on our nation. Through tenacity and grit, they persevere to keep the cowboy legacy alive while feeding families across the world. It speaks to the strength and spirit of our country, and we are honored to support this proud heritage. Thank you for sharing the West with us for 45 years.
Hustle up. We've got 8 more floors to go before lunch.
Sarusha's window washing business is reaching new heights.
Wipe, wipe, and let's roll.
They need more certified cleaners to keep online reviews crystal clear.
Team, I know we're hustling, but watch for streaks. Candace, can you give me a hand over here?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg. Left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected tonight with lows around 37. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 53. Tomorrow, overcast. Lows around 37. Tomorrow night, mainly cloudy. Temperatures below average Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the mid-50s. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 49.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From Boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So of all the problems that they have in Arkansas, of all the insanity that's been going on, all of the assaults on child labor, all of the assaults on the education system, all of the, you know, billions of dollars that they've had in their way to Education Incorporated, all the kids are going to be put back into long-hour, dangerous work jobs. Nobody seems to care about that, but Podium Gate. And look, the argument over, is it a lectern or is it a podium? Inquiring minds want to know. And here to share some thoughts on, is it a lectern or is it a podium? And do we care? I've asked our good friend Pete Dominic to share some thoughts and help us work through and get to the other side of Podium Gate. Pete is a stand-up comic and host of Stand Up with Pete Dominic. You can find that at standupwithpetedominic.com. Pete, thanks for taking time for us.
Always made time for you, Rick. I'm so happy to see you and all of your beauty. Are you still doing the modeling thing just on the side as a side hustle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like I belong on TV.
Me too. Mostly hands. Mostly I model my hands. I just heard about this story with Sarah Huckabee. It's a podium.
Podium Gate.
Who uses the word lectern? But apparently her podium costs $19,000.
19 grand for a podium.
And I don't understand what that means. What can it do for you at that? I suppose it obviously goes up and down with the button. Maybe it's got some other electronics in it. But other than that, I mean, if the podium doesn't make sweet love to you or have $18,000 in it, then why is it $19,000? I can't. And furthermore, you know, the idea that Republicans actually care about government spending has always been a canard. It's always been something that Republican politicians have tried to make conservative voters and folks believe. But it's not true. When they get in power, they spend all kinds of, they waste all kinds of money. Didn't you see the debate, the last GOP debate? Tim Scott and his old friend Nikki Haley, both from South Carolina, they're arguing about curtains. Did you pay for those curtains or not? I mean, they're, of course they did. They buy stuff just like any other person in office. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders, of course, is the daughter of the former governor. Now she herself, the governor, she knows her way around the governor's mansion. She should know her way around making mistakes like this. $19,000 taxpayer expenditure for a podium that doesn't, from what I can tell, make love to you or have $18,000.
Or vibrate. Yeah, I was thinking maybe it vibrated. Yeah,
well, I mean, even that wouldn't cause it to be that much money.
And if I was thinking like an AI vibrating screen kind of thing like that. For $19,000 in Sarah Huckabee Sanders is not enough money.
No, it's crazy. By the way, I think the most important thing here is that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is the governor of Arkansas. I think that's the most important thing. It's hard to believe that you could succeed after what she has done and seen and been. But, you know, I guess Arkansas, the standard is a bit different. More importantly, when you sit here and scream about how you don't want politicians in charge or you don't want people that are legacy politicians. First of all, Sarah Huckabee Sanders' dad is Mike Huckabee. Matt Gaetz's dad in Florida was a well-known state senator for years. I mean, talk about the swamp. It doesn't get any swampier than a politician's kid, Republican or Democrat. I'm not saying they're all bad, but they usually are, and you certainly know how they got there. But lastly, you can't pass yourself off as somehow from being an outsider when you're the daughter of, the son of. It's just preposterous.
Yeah. But here's the thing. This is what gets me, and this is where I'm struggling. Because, look, I get, you know, $19,000 no-bid contractor. I get, you know, the $19,000 thing you stand behind while you give bad news. How come we're not upset about the bad news, though? I mean, if I'm living in Arkansas, I'm furious about the amount of money that they handed out to charter schools and voucher schemes. I'm furious about what they've done to child labor laws. I'm furious about that stuff. But no, we're fed these trinket stories to get all worked up and all lathered up in the panties about.
Well, listen, I don't know about your panties, and I don't want to think any more about them. But mine, this is where I do a live read. Folks, Pete Dominic's panties. I mean, I think that you mentioned feed, and I think that's important. I think that we all have a kind of a curated feed of news, and some things you see and some things you don't see. I didn't see this story about Sarah Huckabee Sanders until you just mentioned it here. And I think that's certainly true in all areas of people's political biases. You know, you see certain things. We live on Earth 1 and Earth 2, and it's so easy to say, how do you care about this but not that? A lot of times people say, well, I didn't know that was happening, but I still don't care about it because it's not on my team. It wasn't in my feed. And I think we all need to do better, you know, work harder to kind of curate a less biased sources of information. I like to think that I do, but my consistency is outraged. If I don't like government spending, I don't like wasteful government spending. If I don't like it when one politician, you know, appoints their son or daughter to office, I don't like it when another one does either. It's too much tribalism for me. I hate partisanship. I like to be a principled person. So if I care about the environment and I'm anti-pollution, well, I'm not going to support politicians no matter what their names are, no matter what their politics are, if they don't support those things. It's not that hard to be consistent with your principles.
There you go. On point with Pete. There you go. Got to get your thoughts on it. It's been a week now. We've had a week off from Congress. Been kind of like a congressional, Ferris Bueller. You know, not much getting done, but not much was going to get done anyway. I guess as we speak, they're still trying to figure out who the next speaker is or who's not going to be. Any thoughts on the charade that's happening?
Well, I mean, I think the one direct effect is it's not good for the country.
No, but of course not.
The obviously less important but still important thing, if you're a Democrat or a progressive, it's great for us. I think both in the short and long term. I don't know if you agree. But the more extreme the Republican Party gets, the better it is for anybody who's not a Republican. And I've watched this. I've covered Congress for over 10 years, and I'm old enough to remember when John Boehner was the Speaker of the House, and then Paul Ryan was the Speaker of the House. And the next Republican Speaker of the House, of course, is Kevin McCarthy. And each one of these speakers were more extreme than the last one. But the Republican Party as a whole has become a lot more extreme as Donald Trump is their president and Steve Bannon one of their de facto leaders. And I think that's important to – I think the context is, Rick, really important to talk about because it's not a new thing. And it certainly didn't start when Trump – took office. I mean, Trump was at the White House Correspondents' Center in the audience when John Boehner was Speaker of the House. So, I mean, I think that people need to remember that this party has been going further and more extreme since Reagan was president when it comes to the idea of governing and governance. When Reagan said that government is not the solution but the problem, that was probably one of the most effective, succinct messages any politician had ever delivered. And ever since then, and even before then, but certainly ever since then, Republicans and folks on the right have become increasingly hostile towards any level of government, local, state, or federal, but especially against the United States Congress. And yet, when they take power, I mean, because when they take power, they do everything they can to handicap and destroy government. And at this point, they're total nihilists of their own party. And I think what is the phrase? The dog has caught the car. I mean, and that's as a result, of course, of the abortion issue. Yeah. I think that there are a lot of people, especially women, who are not at all interested in politics. They're intimidated by it. They don't care about it. They don't think it affects them. But they do now, because this affects women directly, and it's not something that you can forget about. It's not even like a school shooting where it happens, and if it didn't directly affect you, we forget about it until the next day when there's another one. Women don't forget about their reproductive systems. They have a period every month that reminds them that, you know, Gilead is around the corner. The Handmaid's Tale is in the works. And I think that this issue is going to animate American voters at every age for a long time. And I think that they've done a lot of damage to their party and to their brand by restricting women's health care.
Since you brought up the abortion issue, I'm actually kind of surprised that there haven't been, you know, in state houses across the country, you know, any type of legislation to say, hey, look, yeah, we're going to make you have these kids, and you know, we want you to have these kids, and here's help. Right when Roe was overturned, I had predicted there would be some Republicans across the country who would say, we're now pro welfare programs, we're now pro social safety net, because you know, we're forcing all these people to have kids, and we want to ease the blow a little bit. We want to ease the, you know, the sense of, you know, of loss a little bit by going, hey, we're going to help you. Well, but there has been none of that. There's been nothing. I've seen zip on that front.
Did you say you're surprised by that?
A little bit, because, you know, or at least look, if I were advising them, I would go, look, you know, if you want to tap this anger down, at least make you go, look, I'm pro-life, but we're going to help on a certain level. They've gone completely the other direction and maintain their assault on those programs, which is going to make it even harder for people that they're forcing to have children to raise those children.
Well, I think that is, I'm completely unsurprised by it, because Republicans despise more than any other group poor people, including their own poor people who vote for them. And the people who are disproportionately affected by restrictions on women's health care, including, of course, abortion, are lower income folks. And they certainly don't care about them. And if you're still not convinced about that, the most important statistic, I would say, in political initiative as a result of the legislation passed during the pandemic, that Congress was able to pass a child tax credit, which ended halved child poverty in America. It halved child poverty. It decreased child poverty by half. Yeah. And then it expired. They didn't renew it. And things got bad again for those families, for those kids. There are easy solutions to help folks that are living in poverty. And when we implement those solutions at the local, state, or federal level, they almost always work. This was working. It expired. It was not renewed. Those people are now living in poverty yet again. And so the idea that Republicans would ever do anything to help anybody living in poverty, including, you know, you can become impoverished when you have a child that you can't afford, including those families, is completely unsurprising. It's completely on brand, as far as I can tell.
I get, just from the political gamesmanship, I had thought that there would be someone, just anyone, going, look, this is how we're going to ease the blow so that politically we don't take the bloodbath that should come every election cycle for the rest of our lives. I guess I'm
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
That means I should, you know, if I'm going to force somebody to have a baby, then we should help them. We should help them take care of that child. Every once in a while, you hear somebody be kind of consistent on that. But it's not the vast majority of people, I would argue.
Yeah, now that we've talked about this, it was really a stupid thought. Because not... You know, Republicans hate working people. I say this all the time. I should know better.
Well, they hate working, but I was going to say that because it's your show. They hate working people. The only people they hate more than working people who are people that are working even harder, because there's nothing harder than being poor. You're more likely to be, quote, working many jobs, poorly paying jobs, if you're poor.
Yeah.
I mean, most poor people, much to the antithesis of the stereotype, are not lazy. They're not sitting around. I mean, a lot of them, by the way, a lot of poor people can't work because they have to take care of their kids. And you can't afford to put your kid in any kind of child care, and it makes no sense, and then go get a minimum wage job. So it's one of the traps of poverty around the world, and that's why people should be able to terminate their pregnancy if they, by the way, don't think they can afford the kid, much less don't want the kid.
No, I grew up in this. And, you know, maybe you'll agree with me on this, because the child poverty thing, the tax credit thing was really infuriating to me. Because I think it's cruel. I think it really is just plain cruel to show kids a different reality. I mean, I grew up, you know, we were in a high poverty area. You wouldn't know what to look at me now, but, you know, there were months where there was no food in the house at the end of the month. In fact, quite often. But, you know, didn't realize things were bad because we didn't know any better. You didn't, because everybody in the neighborhood, everybody we knew was in the same boat. So to show kids that there's a different reality, that things could be different, that there could be food at the end of the month, that you could have resources, that mom would not be stressed out all the time having to worry about paying the rent or paying the bills, and then yanking that away in the cruelest fashion possible right before Christmas. I think that just plain evil.
Well, poverty is a policy choice, and the attitude of a lot of conservative Republicans is that these people are lazy and they deserve to be poverty. And I was poor, and look at me, I'm doing well now. So can you. Everybody has the same opportunity. This is America. It's possibly the most simplistic view you can imagine anyone having, but they do have that. And also, I think you've done your listeners and yourself a discredit by poking fun at yourself. You're saying, well, believe it or not, if you look at me now, you wouldn't believe it. I couldn't afford to eat that much when I was little. I think it's important to you know, that's, well, I see what you're doing there, but it's important to understand that when you're poor, you can't afford healthy food. And so a lot of times people in my life, I've heard say this many times, I can't believe this person is a poor person and they're also overweight.
Yeah.
It's their fault. It's their fault they're overweight. It's their fault they can't afford better food. No, the more impoverished you are, the harder it is to get healthy food. When it's harder to get healthier food, you have to rely on preservative-laden snacks, salt and sugar-laden things, and that's why we have a diabetes epidemic in impoverished communities in America. It's because they don't have access to healthy, good food. It's not because they don't want to eat it.
No, you're right, Pete. No, there's no question about that. And thank you for the correction. Something I've said before, but thank you for
that. Now, you have no excuse. You're doing well now. I mean, whatever your health issues are, those are all your problems. I'm completely sensitive to that, by the way. I think that it's so ridiculous when people look at people and decide based on the way they look, what opportunities they do or don't have, what education or resources they do or don't have. I find myself doing it from time to time, and I'm disgusted with myself. Luckily, I have, I have a perfect body. The symmetry in my body is almost perfect. And, you know, at 47, to just be as shredded and ripped as I am as a result of my great work, my testament to my health.
And your modesty is showing, and how humble you are. You know, it just comes through the airwaves, and everyone feels that for you.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but if you saw like a full picture of me shirtless, I don't think modesty would be anywhere near the.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We're leaving that right where it's at.
I'm just saying.
You're just saying. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with the perfect Adonis, Pete Dominic. Stand-up comic, host of Stand Up With Pete. If you want to hear more of Stand Up With Pete Dominic, go to standupwithpetedominic.com. Find his podcast, fabulous, fabulous stuff, and perfect body, perfect.
And if you want to know what I look like because you're just listening, imagine Skeletor. Like, same head, same body. He was ripped.
Only with the, like Rambo with the Trump head on it? Is that what kind of
fine. Yeah. Your listeners who watch Master of the Universe know exactly who I'm talking about.
All right. But good for you. Good for you, Pete. Look, I give you credit. I'm hoping that someday I could be like Pete.
Well, you'll still have hair.
I don't know about that, but we'll see. Finally, I got to go back to the Congress thing. On a serious note, do we get a speaker?
Sure. Yeah, I think they'll probably realize what they're up against. I think the situation in Israel and Palestine right now is creating more of a sense of urgency that they can't really screw around with this. You've got to take care of this very soon. I mean, they shouldn't have needed the horror in the Middle East, but I think they look even less serious if they can't come up with somebody. I mean, Kevin McCarthy's already saying, if I were in charge, everything would have been handled.
It would have happened, right?
Right. I think they'll come up with somebody, but it's like, you know, I don't think it'll be one of the people that we're talking about or one of the people that put their names forward, including Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan. I'm kind of hoping it is. You know,
yeah, I want Jim Jordan.
Yeah, I want Jim Jordan.
I wanted Trump, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, that would be great. The more they get,
fabulous. That'd be terrific.
Better. I mean, one of the names. Listen, I know that a lot of Republicans are thinking about Jim Jordan. A lot of people are thinking about Steve Scalise. But I'll tell you, I think they should nominate either me or Thanos from the Avengers. I mean, we want somebody who can come in there and snap their fingers and get rid of half of humanity. That's what we're looking to do. It's either Thanos or me. And folks, listen, you should talking about bodies. Did you hear him? He talked about his body. He's worse than me.
Yeah. Well, he's 215, man. 6'3", 215.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's going to be someone that might be a little bit more moderate, a little bit more reasonable than your Jim Jordan or Steve Scalise or even Kevin McCarthy. That would be the surprise. I don't know who that consensus person would be. You would think they might want to choose someone who isn't a nihilist, who can get deals done to, say, keep the government open, because they're not actually going to pass legislation out of the House, then out of the Senate, and get it to the president's desk, because that's just very unlikely to happen in terms of any meaningful legislation. They might name a few post offices or keep the government open or pass a budget, but the idea that they're going to pass anything significant, I don't think anybody believes.
No, there's nothing coming out of it. But I look at Scalise and Jordan, and I'm going, why these two idiots? I mean, I look at Jordan, and I have no idea why Jordan would throw his name in the ring with all of his baggage with the Ohio State stuff. I hear there's some videos that just make him look really...
Exactly my thoughts. Why would you put yourself out there for more scrutiny when you've got these types of skeletons in your closet? It's not... That's exactly the thought I had.
And not even in the closet, to be honest.
Fair enough, yeah. But, you know, I guess... I don't know what the answer to that is. It's just power, I guess, just being in that position, being the speaker, and the probably how enticing that seems to be for any of these egotistical congressmen. But I agree with you. Like, why would you do that if you're a Jim Jordan? Isn't there a documentary that George Clooney was producing?
Yeah, where's about that at? Out?
Like, I don't know. I'm wondering, but aren't we all going to learn a whole lot more? I mean, if Jim and furthermore, you know, David Corn had a great piece about this in Mother Jones. He was one of the lead insurrectionists. Yeah. Election deniers. I mean,
which
the idea
is why Trump endorsed him.
Right. The idea, while he works for Trump, you know, he'll take Trump's orders, which is why Trump endorsed him too. But I mean, it's really crazy to imagine that this guy who played the role that he did in January 6th in the insurrection in election denial would be the Speaker of the House. That they would do that. That's tough to buy. But
no, it's crazy.
We've seen way crazier things. Yeah.
But help me with this, if you would. Because, you know, I get Jim Jordan. I kind of do. He's an egomaniac. You know, Trump, I'm sure the Trump world people were pushing him. You know, who knows? Yeah, I kind of, you know, he has no conscience, no soul. You know, I get that. What the hell does I'm David Duke without the baggage mean?
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg.
blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected tonight with lows around 37. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 53. Tomorrow, overcast. Lows around 37. Tomorrow night, mainly cloudy. Temperatures below average Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the mid-50s. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 49.
As a, quote, religious freedom issue, piously preaching that, quote, God created us to have family units, not state bureaucrats, make decisions for families. This is Jim Hightower saying, sheesh, does Abbott even have ears? Or maybe he's hoping that we don't have memories, for we have heard him howling constantly that the state, not families, must make every woman's personal reproductive decisions. Let's buy a hearing aid for him and set it on a constant replay loop.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So it looks like Matt Gaetz may get a reprieve after all. Last week I said I thought, you know, Matt Gaetz was going to get a good Cawthorning. Because you had the senator from Oklahoma, what was his name? Mark Wayne Mullen. Came out talking about how some of Gaetz's sexual exploits, grounding up ED medication and snorting it with Red Bull or whatever the allegation was. And I go, you know, here it comes. Yeah, you know, there, all of the stuff that Gaetz was doing, Republicans are going to start letting out. Evidently, that's now probably not going to happen. Thanks to they're going to be going after RFK Jr. And my thought when I saw all of these stuff as the RNC begins mobilizing against RFK Jr., because they understand it's them that is going to get hurt by this, I started thinking about the Q Kooks and how upset they must be for the fear that RFK Jr. could steal votes from JFK Jr. Could happen. The world we live in. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, hey, maybe JFK Jr. is coming back after all. Here to share some thoughts on the insanity, our good friend, former Ohio congressman and political analyst, Bob Ney. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick. I actually wish JFK Jr. really were alive and actually could run for president. He might do some things.
Yeah, but
not
he's
election,
not. And
some future election. He's not.
And, you know, the world that we're in is so screwy.
No kidding.
Screwy. And in fact, you know, right now we still don't have a Speaker of the House. They're still screwing around. And with the attack that just happened in Israel and all this, the chaos that's going on there, just highlighting how broken our government is right now.
I think that the centrists in the House, Republican side, will definitely, you know, in this Tuesday caucus they're having, they will definitely use this, the situation in Israel, to say, you know, we've got to do this now. They're going to utilize that. In fact, had this not happened in Israel, I would say that the possibility of a non-decision would be, you know, lingering out there. Maybe they go home over the weekend. I think this will cause, at least for some of them, to push for that. Yeah. Now, if they're really smart, Rick, there's two things they'll do if they're smart. And they'll do it before the caucus vote. One is agree to stop the nonsense of one member being able to vacate the seat of the Speaker. That's first. The second is, before they vote between Scalise and Jim Jordan, everybody raises their hand like you're in a classroom at school, and they pledge that no matter who wins in that caucus vote, it's 100% you go with the winner. Now, if they do that, that makes a difference. If they don't do that, you have a McCarthy situation where you go to the floor, and guess what might happen?
Chaos.
You know, the 15 rounds with McCarthy might look quick.
Yeah. And look, you know, I got to be honest with you. I was expecting a week of chaos. I didn't want to see the attack happen in Israel. Nobody does. Nobody wants that kind of tragedy. I was expecting a very long, drawn-out speaker fight,
sure.
But I think you're right. I think if they're smart, urgency will rule the day. They will get this done, because from what's being reported, and you know this, you know, probably better than anyone, if we're going to send them money, if we're going to send Israel aid, it's got to come through the House, right?
Well, correct. And now here's the other thing that Gaetz has on the, you know, other side of him. Just think, if Gaetz had been successful and McCarthy had not been successful on this temporary reprieve of a shutdown, just think if right now,
oh yeah,
not only for Americans, but for, you know, the war with Israel to the Palestinians, just think if the government was shut down right now. Just think about it. You know, because it would have obviously an impact on Americans, but a huge impact on what's going on over in the Mideast.
Wow. Now, here's the thing. You know, as I said at the beginning of the show, I don't know what the answer is between in this whole Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I have no idea how you solve that. It's been this way my entire life. Nobody seems, anybody who tells you they have an answer is full of it, I believe. I know a lot of poor and working class people are going to die as a part of this. But when Rona McDaniels, the head of the RNC, comes out and says, hey, this is an opportunity for us to beat up on Joe Biden. When Tim Scott comes out and said, it's all Joe Biden's fault. When Donald Trump comes out and says, hey, this would never happen if this was on my watch. I'm kind of struggling with where we are in this country, because this kind of stuff, you know, this kind of fighting, this kind of finger pointing. I don't know. In the old days, maybe I'm just being a little Pollyanna, but you know, back in the old days, did this happen like this in the old days?
I don't believe to this extent, and I'll tell you how. Let's look at 9-1-1. 9-1-1 happened where, you know, when the U.S. Capitol had the anthrax. I chaired House Administration. Steny Hoyer was the ranking member. The minority leader was Pelosi. And the speaker was Hastert. Tell me, but find one article where we went at each other. Find one. Just one. They don't exist. There was a day when this didn't happen. Now, I must say the most unique approach was Pence, who blamed Vivek Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley. That was kind of unique, standout. And this is a time when they ought to stop all of this. Right now, focus on, you know, where we stand. We have a government that's close to a shutdown. You know, where do we stand with supporting the situation in the Mideast? Where it goes from there is going to be, you know, a real difficult problem after this dust settles, you know, on all of this trauma and tragedy. But you're right. I mean, there was a time, though, when it wasn't maybe this quick.
Yeah.
Maybe the jabbing came, like, later. You know, not this one. This was as soon as the rockets were hitting and as soon as the Israelis were being killed, this was being thrown out there immediately.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard it. I said earlier, I go, how come nobody's asking why, you know, Jared Kushner isn't being called a failure? Because didn't Jared solve all this? Isn't all this, you know, you didn't hear any Democrats accusing, you know, see, this is Jared Kushner's fault. Donald Trump and Kushner claim they solved all this. How come we don't hear that?
Well, and, you know, Saudi Arabia and Israel about to do a deal. Hamas didn't want that deal. By the way, this whole thing, and Intel will show this whole thing has had a two and a half year planning process. Intel's going to show that. They're already hinting at it. A two and a half year planning process. So this wasn't based on one act. Or it wasn't based on the Republican debate, you know, as Pence likes to point out. And it wasn't based on something that someone of either party said, you know, of either philosophy or whether you're pro-Palestinian or pro-Israel. It wasn't something that somebody said. This has been in the makings. And Hamas wants dissension.
Yeah.
Wants dissension in Israel. Wants dissension in America. It's that easy. It benefits them.
Because, you know, my first thought on it when I heard all these people saying, oh, it's Joe Biden's fault, it's, you know, it's America's fault, I'm going, wait a second, that's kind of arrogant. What do we got to do with any of this? I mean, this is kind of between them. This is, from what I understand, you know, the Gaza Strip is a hellhole prison of people who are, the situation is just horrible all the way around. I don't know that we had, am I wrong? Did we do this?
Well, we did not do this. This is the policy of how two different sides act with each other. And you know, I'm very careful on this to say that because there are situations on both sides.
Yes.
The Gaza Strip remains 5 miles wide, 25 miles long, with 2.5 million people, with 71% unemployment, of which 52% of the young people under 30 are unemployed.
Right.
All right? So let's try to envision that, because D.C. is twice the size of the Gaza Strip. Let's try to envision 2.5 million people in D.C., 71% unemployed. All right? So
Hold on. Let me frame this. It would look like D.C. would look like what conservatives believe it is.
Well, that's true. That's true. So you've got that situation. Now, no way does that mean that Hamas can do what they did. You also don't hear about the West Bank because the West Bank didn't support Hamas. And they have ancient leadership in the Palestinian Authority, it's useless. And so in walks Hamas telling people, the Palestinian authorities done nothing for you. Look what we can do for you. We'll take you out of your unemployment. So a lot of people bought onto this, unfortunately. So they elected their own lunatics in the Gaza Strip. They elected them. Yeah. They elected their own lunatics. The West Bank, thank goodness, didn't do that. But it remains that after this is done and, you know, the horrible things, because no matter what the situation was in the Gaza Strip, nothing can justify what on earth were done to the Israelis and these innocent people. However, when this is done and the dust settles and, you know, controls may be reestablished, there's a situation there that Israel and the Palestinians in the end of the day have to deal with. And, you know, we're not sitting there. We can't even broker this stuff. We've been trying to broker this stuff, you know, since, you know, whatever. 1948, we've been trying to broker something.
Yeah, more than my entire lifetime. I mean, this has been going on, and as I said, I don't spend much time on it because I don't have an answer to it. I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other on it because I don't know all of the facts on both sides. It's a horrible tragedy. But the fact that we've got right now a Republican Party that weirdly is you know all in on Israel while being, you know, on the side of, you know, the white supremacist anti-Semitic crowd is very bizarre. It's bizarre to me. If you're watching the Twitters, the same people who for the past several months have been pushing a lot of anti-Semitism here in the U.S. and across the globe, you know, all in on Israel. It's a weird kind of, I don't know how you hold those two positions in your head at once.
Yeah, they're juxtaposed. And then, you know, the Republican Party, as it's standing in the House, is comparable to a patient who's in intensive care on life support, and the plug is halfway out of the socket for the ventilator. That's what position they're in. The next moves they make, Rick, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the moves that they make is going to decide whether they have any chance of control of the U.S. House next year. Any chance. It's going to be decided this week. And if they continue to do what they have done, which is to let, you know, one guy in particular, Gates, who wants to be governor or something of Florida, if they let one guy do this along with seven other people to do what they're doing to get their Hollywood moments, then they can just kiss goodbye control of the House. That's, I think, a fact.
No, I absolutely 100% agree with you, especially when there's a real crisis in front of us. And you're right. Had there been a shutdown, wow, I didn't even think about that.
Think about it. Oh, Matt Gaetz. Yeah, Mr. Shutdown would have been standing.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Expecting today to wake up and hear some more Cawthorning. And I use that because you look at what they did to Madison Cawthorn. I was expecting the same thing to happen to Gates. You know, they started with Mark Wayne Mullen and, you know, some of those. And then, you know, with the stuff that happened over the weekend, it just stopped.
Well, I think some of the people are afraid to come out. There was the statement about what pictures he showed. There's other people that saw those pictures. I just think they're staying away from it because he's nuclear enough, and I don't think they want those members that he showed his braggings to. I don't think they want to be part of it. It's probably what's going on.
Yeah, good point. Any thoughts on who is going to be speaker? Any who's going to be dumb enough to put their name in outside of? Because I don't think it's going to be Scalise, Mister. I'm David Duke without the baggage, or GYM Jim Jordan.
Well, I hate to say this, I think it's going to be one of the two of them.
Really?
Yes, I think it's going to be. I don't think the third white knight's going to run in. Now, I should paraphrase this a little bit. If they do what I was just saying, that, you know, whoever wins in the caucus vote, everybody goes with them, then it's going to be Scalise or Jordan. If neither Scalise or Jordan get the complete nod and they don't do that, then there might be, if they're deadlocked, there might be, you know, the white knight that rides in as the compromise. There might be. But if they do what I'm thinking they'll propose or should propose, which is Scalise or Jordan, which one wins, then it would be one of them. I'm thinking Scalise, but I'm reading where Jordan's got 43 commitments to his 22, but it's early.
Yeah, I'm pulling for Jim Jordan. If I got to pick one of them, I'm pulling for Jordan.
Because I know why you are, because if you look at Jim Jordan and Scalise, I'm going to guess this is where you're going. If you look at Jim Jordan and Scalise might just have the ability to kind of make this thing work. Jim Jordan will come in with, you know, grenades in each hand and the pins out.
Yep. That's right there.
I can read your mind.
Plus, George Clooney was evidently doing a documentary. This would be a good time to release that that documentary on what was going on at Ohio State.
Yeah. At Ohio State, yeah. That's out there, too. And when you become speaker, things become a little bit more laser-focused than they were.
Yep. And maybe we get rid of Jim Jordan. Who knows?
We'll see.
Bob, as always, I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
I appreciate your expertise. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend Bob Ney. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. For working people. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1888. That was the day that the United Hebrew Trades was founded in New York City. The new effort was patterned after the United German Trades. The goal of the organization was to organize Yiddish-speaking workers. Individual Jewish workers had been active in the burgeoning U.S. trade union movement since the 1850s. But the United Hebrew Trades marked the first time for such a broad-based collective effort to organize Jewish workers. Three of the early founders were Bernard Weinstein, Morris Hillquit, and Abe Kane. Weinstein was a young shirtmaker turned union activist. Morris Hillquit would become one of the leaders of the American Socialist Party in the United States. Hillquit was born in Latvia and moved with his family to the Lower East Side of New York. Like many Jewish workers, Hillquit found a job in the city's garment industry. He later graduated from law school. Abe Kane was born in Belarus. He was one of the leading voices in Jewish journalism in the United States. In 1877, he founded the newspaper, the Jewish Daily Forward, which still exists today. Under the leadership of these men, the United Hebrew Trades quickly became a presence in New York City. In March of 1890, 4,000 Jewish workers commemorated the Paris Commune with a march through the city. They more than doubled that number just 2 months later on May Day. By Labor Day, 15,000 Jewish workers marched together. These public demonstrations showed the power of Jewish workers. By 1910, the United Hebrew Trades had swelled to 106 unions. 150,000 men and women were members, including thousands of Italians and other nationalities. By the 1930s, the United Hebrew Trades had reached its peak of 250,000 members. Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com. Texas Representative Will Hurd evidently suspended his Republican presidential bid and endorsed Nikki Haley, which was a complete shocker, considering nobody knew Will Hurd was running for president. And look, I didn't know. and look, that's my gig. But evidently he made the endorsement, you know, gave some nice words, which is how we knew he was running for president. And good for him. Nikki Haley evidently has ramped up her fundraising, though. She's got about $11 million to fill her coffers with. She has basically outraised most of the competition. Ron DeSantis of Florida raised $9.1 million. So, doing okay. They are now. Trump's got raised $45 million in the quarter and has $36 million on hand. So, Haley's $11 million, you know, it's not comparing. So there you go. Now here's some scary stuff. You want to know what's really frightening? With the rise of AI and our dependence on the inner tubes, I saw this story over at the Washington Post that Alexa, you know, Amazon's Alexa, and there's going to be a moment where even the right wingers are going to go too far. But Alexa has come out and said that the election was stolen, was asked about the race in 2020. And Alexa, you know, which, you know, a lot of people use, said that it was stolen by a massive amount of election fraud, cited Rumble and a video streaming there on Rumble as the information. So it's taking right wing nonsense and it's citing it as fact. This is what I've been saying for a very long time, that what the right wing has done masterfully is they have flooded the internet with garbage, the Q, and they've created their own reality to where now the AI sphere is saying that, you know, the election was stolen. Now, so what I did is I went over to I got one of the AI things, the ChatGPT thing, because I want to play with it. I want to see what it says, what it does. I asked, was the 2020 election stolen? And it said, no, there's no credible evidence to support the claim that the 2020 U.S. presidential election was stolen. Multiple courts, including the Supreme Court, dismayed numerous lawsuits filed by supporters of former President Donald Trump, alleging widespread voter fraud and irregularities that could have affected the outcome of the election. And I said, wow, that's pretty impressive. It then went on to say that the Justice Department, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and the FBI described the 2020 election as the most secure in American history. Additionally, the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency called the election the most secure in American history and stated that there is no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised. That is a pretty sizable statement. Claims of widespread fraud have been thoroughly investigated and debunked. But you listen to the kooky folk? No. It was all stolen. And oh, that Russia thing? It was all a hoax. On Friday, I don't know if you saw the story of Jesse Benton. Jesse Benton, a long, long time aide to both Ron Paul and Rand Paul, was convicted, you may remember, back in November on charges that he and another Republican operative got about $100,000 from a Russian oligarch, an influencer, if you will. I guess just wanted a picture with Trump. You know, wanted to put it on social media, wanted to make something out of him. So what this Benton guy did, took the $100,000, kept most of it, donated $25,000 to the RNC, got two tickets to a fundraiser, put Trump right at the, you know, the same table, same event with this guy, this Russian guy, got the picture. And there you go. Mission accomplished. Problem? It's illegal. Foreign nationals can't donate to campaigns. The quid pro quo that was, hey.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's
WFHR
Association.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally